are we doing there? Oh, that's better. Right on. That's good. Like I was trying to say, Mark, nice job.
I sounded way better.
Yeah. You know what? You did sound way better. There's no doubt about that. Hey, it's good to see you guys. And for those who can still hear me, don't have bleeding ears. We're excited you're here. We're glad to have a chance to worship with you. Summer's in full swing, right? I mean, we're there. And if it's not for you, I'm just here to help usher you in, right? Because we're there. I don't quite know how you see the summer schedule in your life. Generally, ours is dictated by 9R. But by and large, I rebel against that and just kind of go, man, Memorial Day weekend starts summer. Labor Day weekend ends summer. And then because we live in Durango, we get to cheat for like a week on either side of that for sure. And so, man, you got to take this thing in full effect this summer. But here's, I want to give you a little assignment this summer, a little challenge, call it what you want, for the summer. And I want you to be amazingly intentional about this, okay? Otherwise, this summer will just kind of come and go and leave us behind. Who's the person? Who's the family that you're connected with that you need to reach out and spend some focused time with this summer? Who is it? And you need to go hike. You need to end up on the lake. They need to be in your backyard for a barbecue. I don't know. Maybe it ends up they come to church with you here. But hear me on this. Who's the couple that you need to invest in this summer? Who's the individual? And I want you to be praying about that. And here's the challenge: is I want you to ask the Lord to open up the door, and give you the faith to take the step to spend that intentional time with this person or this family. Okay. We all know somebody, and if we don't get intentional about it, if we don't focus on that thing, in a sense, if you don't make that appointment, it's just not going to happen. It'll be October, and we're going to be going, man, where did summer go? And then if you're like me, then what you'll go is, I'll get around to that next summer. Okay, and we want to jump on it, and we want to get after that thing where we can. And I'm going to go this as far as to say to you that if it comes down to it and the time that you can spend with that individual or that couple means that you have to tap out of a service here this summer, do it. Okay? And as a pastor, I'm not supposed to say that. That's not the way that you do attendance and church growth and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is if that's your game time, if that's when you can make that happen, because I don't know about you, a lot of my neighbors, I mean, their window of opportunity for doing things is like right now, which is a little inconvenient for me to connect with them, right? I'm a little busy on Sunday mornings about right now. But if you need that time, take it, all right? Pray about that thing. And I bring all this up because I'm going to ask you guys to pray for me. I've talked with you guys off and on now about a really good friend of mine. Just, love this guy like crazy. Want to see this guy come into relationship with Christ. And he recently got engaged, and their intent when they got engaged was that they were going to wait until like sometime in 2018 to get married and all this, and shared with him that I thought, hey, why don't you just get this thing done, right? I mean, you guys, I mean, let's make it happen. And get a phone call from him on Friday, and he says, hey, we're thinking that we want to wrap this up. Would you do our wedding at the end of July? And humbled by this, right? Have the chance to do this. And he goes, so how much do you cost? And I looked at him, I said, you can't afford me. But I do take installment plan for payments. And if we get your credit card information, we'll get you hooked up on that. But what I did tell him is I said, hey, I'm not going to charge you anything. But what I'm going to ask is that you give me like 5 meetings where I can talk about marriage with you and I can talk about how Jesus plays in that moment. And we're going to get that time together. I'm just going to ask that y'all pray with, when you think about me, pray about that moment. Pray about my buddy, pray about his fiance. Would love to see both of them come to Christ. And it's my full anticipation that someday they're going to be sitting here worshiping with us. And I look forward to that for sure. Excited, but let's take the challenge on this thing, right? Find the person, be intentional about it. Spend that time with them, right? We finished up a series last week in Acts. A series that we intended to last about 4 or 5 weeks, that it turned into like 2 months, 3 months in Acts. I hope it was good for you. I hope that the foundational pieces that we walk through in the book of Acts just kind of rekindled your fire for the church, got you excited about what's important within the church and what our focus is as a church. But more than anything, really, what my prayer is for you guys is that you love the church more today. I mean that. I pray that you love the church in a lot of ways like Jesus loves the church. I mean, Jesus is all in on the church. And man, we ask for him to work in our hearts so that we can be all in for the church, okay? And excited about our time that we spent there. And so today, though, we start a summer series that we're going to call Postcards. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to walk through short chapters, short books of the Bible, and we're going to spend a week on each of these things, looking at them, asking God to unpack the truth that's in them. I'm going to invite you to go to Psalm 117 with me this morning. Psalm 117, and as you turn there, you're turning to what people call the shortest chapter of the Bible. I don't know if I really feel good about calling it a chapter, but the shortest chapter. For you Bible trivia folks out there, according to people who've done the research, Psalm 117 is the middle chapter of all of the Bible. Use that at a party sometime. I don't know if that gives it like extra special blessing from the Lord because it's the middle chapter and there's like some extra oomph there, but I mean, we'll just go with it and see what God has to say. As a matter of fact, when you look at Psalm 117, I mean, this thing is more like a tweet than it is a chapter. It's just really straight to the point, and I promise you we're going to get through all the material this morning. We'll cover all two verses. With that in mind, though, in your pew, around you somewhere, should be a postcard. And we put these in the pew for you, and we're going to ask a favor of you on this, okay? Do you remember when you were a kid getting a postcard at some point in time? Maybe, you know, a relative was on a vacation, they sent you a postcard, or maybe you were on a vacation and you got to send a postcard to somebody. And here's the amazing thing about that. The postcard, on the picture always told a story, right? There was something about it that was special to you, right? And then on the back, you know, there'd be just a few words. Not a lot. And as a matter of fact, if it was like the postcards I got from my grandparents, you got only like half the words because there was like stamps on there and like the meter thing that like eliminated some of the words. So you only kind of got part of the message, but you were pretty sure that grandma was excited about something. But you got this thing and it told a story. And what we want to go with this summer is the fact that, you know what, God has done things in your life that adds to your story. And what we'd ask for you to do is to take some time on this. And it doesn't have to be long because we haven't given you a ton of space. But just write down an event where God really shaped you. Maybe it's the time, it's the event, you know, that God used in your life to bring you to salvation. Maybe it's the first time you really understood what forgiveness meant. Okay? Maybe it was that time where you had heard about the promises of God and you finally experienced one. And where God says he's faithful, and you're like, wow, he really is. It's not just my mom and dad telling me this or a pastor telling me, he just really is. But what we'd ask you to do is write that thing down and then turn it into the Welcome Center or give it to Jimmy or myself. And what we want to do is during the course of the summer, we just want to share a story, okay? And you're going, well, wait a minute. You're going to read my story? Well, yeah, okay? And you're like, well, with my name and everything? Well, yeah, your name, and we're going to put your face up on the screen, and we're going to make you stand up awkwardly. I'm teasing. We're not doing any of that. But the fact is, we want to encourage each other with story. So take some time. Write that thing down. Turn that in. We're going to keep coming back to that thing, and we want to celebrate what it is that God's doing this summer as we interact with the work of God in our life. Now, Psalm 117, as we come, this little psalm absolutely packed with some life-shaping truth for us. The old Puritan Thomas Watson said this. He said, in prayer, we act like men, which if you think about that is absolutely appropriate, right? As men, we are absolutely desperate for God's intervention in our life, his work in our life, and in prayer, we're admitting, we're confessing that we're dependent upon him that way. So he says, in prayer, we act like men. In praise, we act like angels. Okay? And this is huge for us because I think sometimes angels get kind of a, basically one or two things happen with angels, right? Angels either get like way too much credit, way too much, you know, stature, you know, and position. Or what we do is we minimize angels by like making them little tiny cherubs in heavenly diapers floating around, you know, doing these things. And I'm just here to tell you, you know, that's definitely not what they're doing, because when you read the Bible, anytime somebody comes into an encounter with an angel, there's much fear. So there's something going on with an angel, right? That's bigger and more dynamic than what we make it out to be. And what I'm saying is their primary act of praising God, this is no small thing to be part of that. And so when we praise God, we enter into the activity of angels. Okay? And so let's not minimize that moment. And so when we come to Psalm 117, that's the thing that's evident to us that he's talking to us, that we need to be a people of praise. Okay? And my question for us this morning to think on is, what keeps you from praise? What keeps you from praising? And when I talk about the word praise, what I'm saying simply is that we're bragging upon God. We're bragging upon who he is, what he does, his character, his activity that way. We're making much of him in that. And my question is, what keeps you from that? What keeps you from that? And I want you to chew on that. Write that thing down. We'll loop back to that in a minute. But let me just walk through the passage with you if I can. We see some things. First of all, in verse 1, there's a call to praise. Right? God himself, through the psalmist, looks at us. In verse 1, he says, praise the Lord, all the nations. Laud him, all peoples. All right, there's some amazing things going on here in this call. The first is the fact that he says all the nations and all the peoples. And what he's talking about here is not so much the political states as we see it. He's not talking about Brazil specifically or China specifically, or the United States of America specifically, but he's talking about ethnic and cultural groups. Okay? So and I want you to start, you know, to put your mind around what we're talking about on that deal, is the fact that, like, if you go to China, for instance, there's at least 60 known people groups in China. 60 different people groups, okay? I don't know if you knew this or not, but according to the Bureau of Indian Affairs here in America, that there are identified 566 different Native American tribes in America. And you take each of those tribes, and they're going to come at life from just a different angle, each one of them. Think about that. It's unique, right? The way that God has woven this thing together. And what he's saying is, all nations, all peoples, praise my name. Okay? And what this drives for us is the fact that when we take the gospel message to the world, all right, we're doing this inviting them to come in to praise the God of heaven. That's what we're doing. We're not calling them to be first people of First Baptist Church or Durango. Right, we're pretty awesome here, but we're not that awesome, right? And the fact of the matter is, we're not calling them to just be members here. We're calling them to praise the one who saved us, to make much of his name on this. And for some, man, it's disturbing to me. And I'm gonna rabbit trail for just a second on this, but it's disturbing to me because I'm reading more and more articles and thoughts that maybe the day of Western missions is over. Folks, you got to understand something. According to folks far smarter than me and for most of us in this room, they've identified over 11,000 people groups in the world. 11,200 and some odd random number, you know, number that way. And what these same people would tell you is that over 6,600 of them are unreached. Less than 2% reached with the gospel. And of that 6,600 people groups, 68 of them are made up of over 10 million people each. It's a lot of people, right? And then there's another 480 some that have between 1 and 10 million people in each people group. And so, folks, if anything, we all need to get up and we need to go. Right? The day of Western missions is not diminishing, it's just increasing. And we need to ask God to not only raise up people, but to help us understand how to better use the technology around us to best reach the world that's in front of us and invite these folks in to a time of praise. And so there's a call, but even deeper than that is, I want you to get a hold of this morning, is that when it says all nations, all peoples, he's talking about you this morning. Okay, he's talking about you. He's inviting you to do this. You don't have to be a missionary, okay? You don't have to be part of some unreached people group. As a matter of fact, you don't have to be like Bible college educated. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be on the elder board. You don't have to lead a small group. You don't have to be on the worship team. You can do all of those things, but you don't have to be. The long and short of it is, you can just be that average run-of-the-mill Christ follower and you've been invited to praise his name. Folks, you have opportunity this morning to do that, right? We've done it through song. We've done it in prayer, right? We've got some folks that are going on mission trips. They're going to praise the Lord through saying yes to him that way. We're going to celebrate communion here in a few minutes. We praise him in that. You see where I'm at on this? You see where we're going? All right, when we're talking about praising him, making much of his name, bragging on him that way. Folks, this is an amazing thing, okay? And so there's this call to praise, but beyond that, then there's a cause to praise. And verse 2, that drives us on this thing. Notice it says, for his loving kindness, some of your versions will say steadfast love, for his loving kindness is great toward us. I think we'd all sit back this morning and say, amen. Right? And then he says, and the truth or the faithfulness of the Lord is everlasting. We have this deep cause to praise, right? It's verse 1 calls us to this thing. Verse 2 starts with the word for. This is the reason why we're doing it, all right? And he just names two things, his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Folks, this is ridiculous this morning when you start to think about it, right? When you start to think about people loving you, has anyone loved you in the manner in which God has loved you, right? I mean, right there, all of us we're just done, right? We tap out and go, praise, right? We're in. And when he says his faithfulness is everlasting, no joke, right? No one has been that faithful to us. Nobody. And he puts this thing on full display in front of us all the time. Let me try to illustrate this just real briefly for you. My intent coming back into this week was that maybe you can relate to me on this thing, but you know, we're wrapping up school. You know, May, I don't know about you, but May for us is just like a blur. I mean, we hit May 1 and it's like June 3rd that quick, right? It just works that way. All the stuff. And then on top of that, then once June 3rd comes, my kids are like, it's summertime, let's play and let's do Durango summer stuff, right? Okay, and so if I don't get like major yard projects done before that time, they just don't get done, right? And so my intent, I had all this thing planned out. And we were coming back from this wedding, we were doing this last weekend, and we came back. I was going to be gone Wednesday and Thursday, so my kids are in school. I can go full on, get these projects done, so that when they're out of school, I can jump in, I can be like a good dad, right? And the long and short of it is that just didn't happen. And every time I turn around, there was something else that came up, the next thing that happened, the next thing that had to take place, the next issue. And so God's walking me through these things. And if you know me at all, you know, probably about like midday Thursday, I'm like ready to lose my mind because this thing is just not coming together the way I want it to on any level. And I'm basically throwing a fit. No praise involved, just lots of fits. All right. And then God, as only he can do, flips the switch on this thing. And I start thinking about the opportunities that I've had Wednesday and Thursday that I didn't think I was going to have. And you praise the Lord for that. And God stops me in my tracks as I sit through a fifth grade graduation on Thursday. And on the one hand, I just want to go, why am I in this gym for like ever when I would just like to not be in this gym? Except that there's my girl walking across the stage. And it hits me, right? God, you love me enough to give me a girl. Thank you. And you praise the Lord for that, right? And then I got to do a funeral service on Friday for Gladys Davies. And some of you guys knew Gladys. But here's the deal. Here's a lady who loved Jesus so much that the influence runs deep in her family. And I'm not just talking kids or grandkids, we're talking great-great-grandkids, talking about how much they love grandma and how much she loved Jesus. Legacy, folks. And I'm just thankful, right, that I got to be Gladys's pastor. I'm praising him for that. And then I had the conversation with my buddy. And then Saturday, I'm over. And here's the deal, though. I'm blown away, though, on Friday by the way this church rallies around the Davies family. And you did. I have an interaction. Some of you remember Beverly Langford, okay? This week marked 7 years since her husband passed away. Mark was way too young to pass away. But she told me, she said, Jeff, I'll never forget how much First Baptist loved me and the kids. She said, I even get letters now from folks just letting me know that they're praying for us. And I'm like praising the Lord for this church. Saturday, I go over to the McKinleys They've got a container backed up in front of their place, the place where they're living. Black mold in the place. They have to leave. It's triggered health issues for them. They've got to get rid of everything. Literally, virtually everything. I show up about 10 o'clock or whatever time it was, and I'm thinking this week-long project. I mean, because how long does it take to, like, throw out stuff, right? It's done. Because some of you sitting in this room showed up, and you like, emptied their house in 45 minutes. And Andy's sitting there blown away by how much the church loves him. He's praising the Lord. We're praising the Lord together in that moment. Okay? And then I got to experience a moment yesterday where it was a moment where I had to seek forgiveness from a couple and look them right in the eye, own my moment, and ask them to forgive me and have them extend that forgiveness to me. Have you ever been there, right, where you know everything you deserve on that moment is a hammer, and what you're getting is grace, and you just can't do anything but praise the Lord in that moment, right? Does this make sense where I'm going on this? And all I'm saying is that we have great cause to praise his name. We have great cause for his goodness, his graciousness, his mercy, good people in our lives, the way the church works and moves, and we see these things. And I put all of this in front of you, folks, because when we start, I mean, all we have to do is look at his steadfast love and his faithfulness, and we have enough to praise him for days, don't we? Okay, folks, I guess what I'm saying is I want us to get on this wagon of praising his name and making much of him, because God is doing a ridiculous amount of things in and through and around us all the time. I mean, I want you to think about, for just a minute, Dave prayed over a group of people, right? So starting this next week in Durango and in Arkansas and in Nicaragua, just our little tiny church, our own little microcosm, right? There's going to be gospel-sized ministry going on in three different locations all at the same time. From this church. God, why would you do that? And yet we praise him for that, right? We brag on him for that. Because without him on that, we just don't have enough wherewithal within us to make something like that happen. And so we praise him. Now, I got to move along here. Some people might sit back and say, hey, but Jeff, this command from God to praise God, that seems a little odd to me. Okay, it's a little weird that God would command people to praise him. What's wrong with him? Right? If he's all together, holy and perfect and put together, why does he need people on their knees praising him? Right? I mean, what's up with that? I mean, that seems a little like he might have a defect or something, that he needs the praise of people. And we got to at least address that, because, I mean, if you're playing with folks in the community, somebody's going to bring that up at some point in time. All right? And the fact of the matter is, maybe it isn't so much, and we know it isn't, that God, the defect doesn't fall on God's side. The defect falls on our side. Okay? Because deep down, when we look at this, you and I have a deep need to connect ourselves or to see or to engage in something with infinite beauty and infinite power, someone or something that is bigger than us, right? We have a deep need for that. Right? This is what we long for, this moment on that. And not only to see it and to encounter it, but to enjoy it so much that it spills into praise. We have a deep need for this thing. The need is not on God's. The need is on ours. And what happens is, because God is completely admirable and breathtaking and bigger than we are and so much more dynamic than we are on this moment, in his great love toward us, he put us in a spot to soak this thing up and out of joy extend great bragging and praise upon his name. Okay? C.S. Lewis struggled for a long time in his life with this whole idea of why would I need to praise a perfect God? And he wrote this. He says, but the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of a compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise, unless, sometimes even if, shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought in to check it. And we've run into that, don't we, where we're a little shy, a little slow to praise. Sometimes we're afraid we're going to bore people with it. Sometimes I think we hold back too because we think we're maybe bragging upon ourselves or making much of ourselves in that moment. But notice he goes on. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses. Readers their favorite poet. Walkers praising the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. Praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors. Motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles. Even sometimes politicians or scholars. I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced and capacious minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised least. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that it's magnificent? We do draw people in, don't we, on that moment? The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. My whole, more general, difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us, as regards the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what indeed we can't help doing about everything else we value. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. Folks, we praise the Lord and we draw people into praise because it completes the praise. We celebrate together in that. That's why this thing is special. What we do in this room on a Sunday morning is unique. Straight, we could, any of us could sit at home, any of you could sit at home on your back step, pop up the iPad, download some guy who is far better at what I'm doing right now than I'm giving you, and get a more dynamic message. But you miss this piece. For as good as your backyard is, you're missing this piece because we're not there, unless you want to invite us over, all right, and we can come. But the fact of the matter is, that's the cause for praise. It finishes at the end of verse 2. There's a culmination in praise. It's just very simple here. He says, for his loving kindness is great toward us, the truth of the Lord is everlasting, and he just, praise the Lord. That's it. I mean, he doesn't know what else to do. He just, praise the Lord. Folks, and that's where it leads us. As we answer the call, as we think about what it is that God is and what he's doing, we just respond in the same way. So where do we go with this thing? I asked you at the start, what keeps you from praise? Okay, because I think we struggle at times. Lewis talks a little bit about it. It could be shyness. It could be the fact that we think we're boring people. It could be something. Honestly, you know, one of the things that I talked to, and you know who I'm talking to because you're in the room. We had this conversation this week. Great comment, though. Says he struggles praising the Lord at times because he's been around some folks that are a little hokey with it. And really what he means by that is, have you ever been around somebody that every time, like every other word is, hey, praise the Lord. You know, and you don't, and you feel like kind of less of a Christian because you don't say praise the Lord as much as they do. And it holds you back on that. It's like, I don't want to be that person. Or the person who says praise the Lord and they kind of say it at the wrong time, right? Somebody's like sharing their heart, you know, they're going through a tough time and you're just like, well, praise the Lord. Okay, did you not hear what I said? I mean, you know, but the fact of the matter is, the question is, what keeps you from praise? And as I've been thinking about this, there's at least two things that came to mind that hold us back from praising. And honestly, I think one of them that holds us back from praising the Lord, I think is sin. Sin keeps us from doing that. And let me explain it to you, because to be able to praise the Lord, like the psalmist is saying here, in that light, you need to starve the dragon, okay? And this is, it's just a picture in my mind, that in the recesses of our heart, there's something that we're feeding that's not God. It can be anything. I mean, I'm straight. I mean, our minds immediately go to some kind of like unacceptable sin. You know, maybe it's some kind of addiction, right? But it doesn't have to be unacceptable. It just has to be something that isn't God, right? And we feed it. And we've got this little, you know, this little dragon that we're feeding in the depths of our heart. And pretty soon that dragon starts to get bigger and bigger. And we're realizing, wait a minute, that thing's going to get loose. So then we chain it. Ever do that? You chain it and kind of keep it hidden. And then it gets bigger and bigger. And you're like, it's going to break that chain at some point in time. So then you lock the door in the basement of your heart so it can't get out, right? And then all of a sudden, one time you're going to go feed it again, and you don't even hardly open the door, and it's blowing the door off because it's broken the chain and it's reared its head. and it owns the moment. And folks, what we call, I mean, seriously, think about it. Go with me for just a minute. You and I all know somebody who's blown their life up, and we sit back and go, how did that happen? And we think that it was like one day they were our normal run-of-the-mill buddy, and the next day they blew their life up. Like they just flipped a switch one morning saying, I'm just going to do this. Folks, it doesn't work like that. There's a buildup on that thing. That slow, steady feeding of this thing, keeping it hidden until it just blows the doors off. And honestly, for us to be able to praise the Lord, we need to starve that dragon. Because that thing is going to crowd out the praise in our life, all right? That's number one. Number two, another thing that keeps us from praise is performance, right? Where we think that we have to perform. And this happens in Christianity where we sit back and somebody walks up to you and goes, you're the best Christian I've ever seen. I mean, who doesn't want to hear that, right? I'm pretty awesome. Or you're the most amazing Christ follower. I love the way you study the Bible, right? I love the way you see. And pretty soon we're sitting back on, huh? I must be pretty good at this. But then the hard part about that, though, is the next time you see them, you don't want them to see you as plain old every ordinary day Joe. You want them to see you as super Christian. So now you got to play, right? You got to perform in that moment. That's a treadmill that we can't stay on. And there's nothing worse than getting caught naked in that moment. Man, we want everybody to think only the best of us. But hear me on this. Man, we have to starve that performance thing because here's the deal, right? Jesus has already performed for us. He took care of it all for us. When he said he paid it all, I mean, that's what he meant. He paid it all. And when he says that you're adopted and you're sealed, think about this. You're adopted and sealed by the Holy Spirit and you're seated in the heavenly places, blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places. He's not joking about that either. Folks, what do you have to do? I mean, straight this morning, if it's true that your sin debt is paid for, that you are received as a son or a daughter of God, you're sitting as a co-heir and a brother of Christ, fully adopted, all the privileges of family, what do you have to do today? Except praise him, right? Do you see where I'm going on? And so we got to starve this performance pressure. I mean, we got to get over that thing where this level doesn't determine where our standing is, but our understanding of this determines where our level is. Okay? And we need to starve these things. But if I was to stop here, all I'm doing is to tell you to go out and work really hard on your salvation. Okay? I'm just telling you, go starve the deal and work really hard on this thing. Okay? But we can't stop there, right? Because where he's going on this, and this is why we praise him, Psalm 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes his refuge in him. And really what I'm saying is, yes, starve these things that we have in our life, but here's the deal. We have to feed something, and we're going to feed on something. That's where the taste, feed your joy. You feed on who God is. You feed on what he's doing. You feed, you remind yourself of that. Folks, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's our high school kids here. I mean, honestly, you guys, when you're looking at each other, you're feeding on and you're feeding each other what it is that God is doing in your life, how he's been faithful, where he's blessing you guys, how he's taking care of you on this thing. I want you to think about it. I mean, you guys just wrapped up school, right? And man, you went into the school, you're thinking one thing, school's going to be like this and it's going to work like that. It kind of maybe did, right? And it kind of maybe didn't in some areas. But the reality of the moment is you came through on the other side of that thing and God's made you something different. And he's been utterly faithful. You guys need to remind each other of that. Okay, but it doesn't stop here. Church, we need to do that. And we need to praise the Lord together on this thing. Because he's good to us. He's faithful on this thing. And we need to feed our joy. And so the question for you this morning as we talk about praise and we look at this little tiny Psalm 117 to kick off our summer and we go into the summer, man, what are we going to feed on this summer? What are we going to feed? We're all going to feed something, but what are we going to feed on? Here in a minute, Dave's going to make his way down and we're going to partake in probably the smallest meal you'll eat all week. Communion, and yet nothing has more substance for us than what's in front of us. And so I figure the best way for us to start feeding our joy is to remember what Christ has done. Dave, why don't you come down and lead us in communion?